Hey everyone, this is Tony Reeves and welcome to In the Know. For those of you who've been following me, I've been doing a variety of different segments focusing on Jim Crow, life during Jim Crow and life after Jim Crow. So I decided that I wanted to reach out to my mom and ask her to help me with something because we've been spending a lot of time focusing on different things that are happening in terms of people's rights. And I often have to remind people that for every right that you see that's being clawed back a little at a time, we are literally about 60 years or so removed from a time period where people were literally had rights, literally were born and grew up in a time where they didn't even have certain rights. So when they were given rights, their whole world changed overnight. So for those persons who are, you know, younger than me, I've been doing this series called Life After Jim Crow. So I asked my mom, do me a favor, to reach out to some of her friends. And I asked them a series of questions, and I wanted their input to give insight to what it was like when rights were given to them. So when Jim Crow came out, was abolished, when the Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act, Fair Housing Act, Rights Act, Brown versus Board came through, I wanted to know from my experience, where some of my mom's people, what they went through. So I got a series of questions, and I want to read some of the responses. The first is from a friend of hers named Frankie. Question number one, what happened around you when you found out MLK, Martin Luther King, had been assassinated? I was in college, Arkansas A&M College, now the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, an historically black college and university, and I was living in the dormitory at the time. The back of our dorm faced a city street. Someone called in a threat that some white guys were going to ride down that street and shoot up the dorms. Everyone in the dorm was ordered downstairs and to sit on the floor until the threat could be investigated. We must have sat for hours. Nothing happened. While we were there, we all got acquainted with one another. Question number two, how did you find out desegregation was outlawed? I learned about it on the afternoon news on the television. Question number three, what was the first place you visited after integration? The first place I visited after integration was Chicago. My mother took me on a shopping trip downtown. We rode the train downtown. When we got on the train, the only two seats that were available were beside white men, one beside each man. My mother sat beside one and told me it would be okay to sit beside the other one. After much reluctance, I sat down. I looked up at him. He seemed like the whitest, tallest man I had ever seen. As I kept staring at him, he kept reading his paper, never giving me a second thought. Question number four. Was there any place you visited who still refused to serve you even though the Civil Rights Act had been passed? One summer in 2007, when I was on a trip with a group of teachers touring our state of Arkansas, we spent the night in a small town in Arkansas. We had breakfast at the hotel and proceeded on our tour. At lunchtime, the Rangers, who were white, took us to this restaurant. Since the people at the restaurant were acting a little bit funny, the park ranger informed us that we would not have been allowed to eat there if they had not been with us because of the color of our skin. The food didn't taste that good, so I didn't eat it. The potato chips in a sealed bag tasted better. Question number five. Name a place that you refused to go, even though you were allowed to go, and why would you not go there? I refused to go to any of this one particular businessman's businesses. The reason I would not go there is because when I first came to Pine Bluff, Arkansas to go to college, the owner of these establishments' father had a restaurant on Cedar Street, now University. I was told that that was the KKK's headquarters. In my life, I never wanted to be where the KKK is, was, or has been, so I never went there. Final question, number six. Do you know of people who were still afraid to vote even though the Voting Rights Act of 1965 had passed? The people in the area where I grew up, they were still afraid. The white foreman had told them that there wasn't a need for them to vote because their vote didn't count anyway. They believed what Mr. Troy said and never voted. Out of a population of about 100 people, and this was a small town, my grandmother, grandfather, and one other couple were the only ones that ever voted in that area. This is why it's important for us to remember. The reality is that we are still operating in a world where we are not that far removed from where there were segments of our society that was okay with people not having certain rights. They were okay with people not being able to do certain things. And they were okay with keeping that idea or perpetuating that idea going forward, even though it wasn't true. Remember this, the rights that we have, and I know this is, we know this from the Pledge of Allegiance. We are one nation, you know, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. When you're dealing with anyone who believes in their heart that in order for everyone to have liberty, some of us or some of them or some of you shouldn't have some of your liberties, then that is not our nation. So be mindful that we have people who still live in our society who grew up in a time where they were, where people looked at them and viewed them as being citizens, but only citizens, not of the fullest extent. So just keep that in mind when people start clawing back rights, that we fought hard to get to this point, and you want to fight hard to ensure that everyone has rights so that we can all have them together. Mm-hmm.